Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thanks for listening to AFR. You want to send us an email, as long as it's positive and encouraging. We call those K-Love emails.
That's right.
We want you to be positive and encouraging. You can do that at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. I'm Tim with Ed, and now Steve's in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Got the
paintball shirt on.
Yeah.
The Wonder Bread shirt.
I love the paintball.
The Wonder Bread. That's clever.
Yeah.
The Wonder Bread shirt.
Yeah.
If you're watching on Facebook Live, Today's Issues, you see Steve's Wonder Bread shirt. Alex McFarland joins us now. Alex is co-host of Exploring the Word, heard each afternoon here on American Family Radio. Hey, Alex, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. It's some wonderful radio you guys are broadcasting today.
Did you hear my Ross Perot impersonation?
I did. And while that brings back so many memories, I well remember those. Remember, he said, if I don't clean out the barn, who will? Remember, he said.
Oh, that preceded Drain the Swamp, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
If I don't clean out the barn.
By the way, I'm looking. Finally got a chance to look at our Facebook comments.
Are they positive and encouraging?
Well, I haven't looked at all of them. But anyway, Joanna, I don't ever tell last names, but Joanna posts on here and says that Perot did get on every ballot in the nation in his 1992 presidential run. I did not know that, but
well,
Joanna,
my apologies.
If that's true, that's interesting. That adds
some reason. The number like 38 states comes to mind. Maybe that was his second run because he did run twice.
Yeah.
He ran.
Did he?
Yeah. Don't you? He ran. George H.W. Bush was president.
Yeah, I remember 92.
Okay,
and
Bill Clinton was the Democrat challenger.
Right.
And Ross Perot ran third party. I forgot what his party was called. Do you remember what his party, Ross Perot's party was called?
Was it the Reform Party? I'll check.
Ross Perot got like, I want to say, 12 to 13% of the vote.
I think he was maybe higher.
Maybe 16. The first time he ran.
Reform Party.
Reform Party.
Of the United States of America.
Yeah. Okay.
You remember all the posters that said Ross for Boss. You remember that? But as everybody knew, he pretty much just siphoned off votes from, you know, George.
Oh, he cost Bush the election.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, Clinton won with 42% of the vote, I think it was.
Yep.
43% of the vote.
I remember that day.
So Clinton benefited from Perot.
That was
conventional wisdom anyway. What'd you say, Alex?
You think about it. It's funny how the trajectory of history changes. Because, I mean, look, I mean, Bill and Hillary Clinton have basically been a, you know, 30-year crime syndicate in America, really. And now, had Clinton lost in 92, he might have come back and won again in 96. Or won the first time in 96. But just imagine if Clinton had not won in 92. And imagine, you know, I know this is all counterfactual, but yeah, Perot, for all of his probable good intentions, did cost Bush the 92 election.
But what happened the second time? Ross Perot ran the second time. He didn't get the same amount of support.
I think he was actually doing pretty well. Don't you remember now, folks, this is going way back.
What year are we talking about? 96.
I think
that's the second time.
Yeah. I think he started doing polling very well. And then he said that he was worried about the government doing something to his daughter. You remember? He started getting some. I probably shouldn't start talking on this because my memory's foggy about what happened. But I think he quit. And he just wasn't going to run.
He was
worried about.
Okay, so the second time he ran, Clinton was president, right?
Right. Yep.
Who was the Republican nominee?
That was Robert Dole.
Yeah, Bob Dole.
Bob. Now,
and sadly, Bob Dole's platform was basically, please, this is my last chance. I'm do this.
Right, right. It's my turn.
Yeah, it's my turn.
My turn. Bob Dole from Kansas, a senator. He was Senate Majority Leader, a very powerful man. But what I always remember about Bob Dole is he talked in third person all the time.
I know. Bob Dole didn't say that. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I like doing that. I'm
third person.
I want to start doing it, but I don't think my wife's going to put up with it. But
well,
you know
what? Tell your wife,
Ed doesn't care. Ed doesn't care.
You're going to tell Diane that Ed doesn't care about
Ed doesn't care if you don't like
the yard today.
Ed's the man of the house.
So if you talk in third person, really you're saying I'm not responsible for what.
It's like it's not me. It's Ed.
It's Ed. Talk to Ed. All right. I just remember. So it was
anyway.
Bush, and then Ross Perot ran again, and it was Dole.
And then dropped out. Then I think he jumped back in. Anyway.
Is he still alive? Ross Perot.
No, he died.
I just don't remember when he passed.
He passed away. And also in his second attempt, I had forgotten that. And bless his heart, talk about cringeworthy politics. Hey, do you know what? I got to tell you, the whole Biden era means that James Stockdale is not the most cringeworthy. You know, if anybody, of course, I'm sure he's passed on by now.
He's an
admiral.
Admiral, yeah, one who served our country well. But you all will recall how poorly he performed on the debate stage. I mean, it really was hard to watch.
Well, we started off by saying, I don't know what I'm doing on this stage. Remember?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah.
But look, he looks practically like a Churchill next to Biden and Kamala Harris.
Right.
That's true.
I know. Did you see the other day where it was reported that the Democrats, the reason the Democrat Party big wigs, they don't know what to do, okay? They got a bad, bad, bad situation. I'm talking about Biden and Harris. But they said the reason they don't want – the reason the party brokers, that's what you want to call them, in the Democratic Party, they want Biden to stay in is because they don't want Harris. They think they're going to lose. They're going to get wiped out if she's the presidential candidate for the Democrats. Think about that for just a minute.
That's possible.
Just think about how less they think of you if they're saying
we're good with Biden.
We're going with Biden. He's our best shot. So you know what, our country, Alex. Steve, yeah. And Ed and listeners, our country is basically 50-50. And it's almost where that's the die is cast on that. And whoever the candidates are makes very little difference, it seems to me. We're reaching a point where people are picking sides, whether you're a Republican or Democrat. There's probably 20-25% of you know, of the public that are, I guess you could say, independents. They can go either way, and that's who Republicans and Democrats try to, in a general election, that's who they try to appeal to, because
that's the only thing they can, and that number keeps shrinking. But I think
what number keeps shrinking?
The 25%. I mean, the number in the middle, the number that you can campaign for that aren't already ideologically committed to voting for you. But there's a lot of those people are what Trump used to call the uninformed voter. What was his term?
He didn't say that.
The low information.
Low
voter.
Information voter. They just don't pay attention to politics until the election comes around, and then they read a paper or two, or they talk to somebody that they trust, and then they go vote.
That number is probably higher than 25%, because I mean, we eat, live, and drink this stuff.
Yeah,
we even have
they're
a drink.
In play.
If it politics is, we have a drinking problem. If politics is alcohol,
You know, think about the Democrats. Though, I mean, of famous Democrat politicians, I mean, I don't think any of them have any kind of a positive brand awareness among the American people. I mean, you got people like Stacey Abrams and Gretchen Whitmer and Gavin Newsom and Elizabeth Warren, none or AOC.
Or Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
Yeah, he mentioned.
They got no bench.
Yeah, none of those names resonate positively with the average American person.
Well, I would say this, too, that political realignments take more time than you'd think. I can remember in my lifetime, New York and California were both red states consistently. And
Reagan won every state in the Union except Minnesota, I think, which was where Mondale was from in that election.
And so the South was solidly Democrat for ages, and going back to the point about people, their party affiliation driving their voting record. I remember when people, they were FDR fans and they voted Democrat, and the Republicans won the House in 1994 for the first time in like 50 years or something Newt Gingrich with his contract. So these political realignments sometimes take a long time to develop. So now the South has been reliably red for a long time. So and New York and California are deep blue. So right. These kind of political realignments, they exist, but they take time to.
And you've develop. Got the potential for the reemergence of the Whig Party.
Well,
you laugh if you want to. Have y'all not read about this?
I have not.
Well, you just watch what happens in the next 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
Then you come back and say Tim was right.
I will.
Okay.
I absolutely
Because I'm telling
will,
you,
sir.
The Whig Party is coming back.
I'll wig out if that happens.
Alex, you got some summer camps coming up?
We do. We have at the website equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org, and this will be our 25th year to do worldview camps for youth in the summertime. And here's my little slogan: we are trying to woke-proof America's teens. So there's still time to register. We do all the fun camp stuff. We do the ropes course, all that fun stuff. But we talk about knowing Jesus, and we talk about being a part of the United States of America. So bring your youth group, your teens, middle school, high schoolers, and the website for our summer camps is equipretreat.org.
Where are they going to be?
They're at North Carolina, Georgia, New Jersey, Iowa, Colorado, and Tennessee.
Wow. And talk about long-term realignments. That's part of how you do it, is you build generations who are informed, who are Christian, and who understand the cultural issues that are so impactful. Good on you, Alex. These are great. What's the website again if people want to sign up?
Yeah, equipretreat.org. We did four camps last summer. And I've got to say, Tim, I'm so blessed because a huge part of our teens, their parents heard about it through American Family Radio. Last summer, we had 600 youth, 125 or 30 made a first-time salvation decision. But all of these kids, I'm telling you, they are passionate about being used by God to make a difference in this country.
Amen.
And so we're in it for the long journey, folks.
Amen. What's the website for information on the summer camps again?
Equipretreat.org.
And what ages are eligible?
Middle school and high school.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Take care, my friend.
God bless America. Bless you guys.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
Dr. Alex McFarland joining us there. You're listening
Anybody
to...
else hearing bells during that?
What now?
Yeah. Anybody else hearing bells? Yes, because Alex, this happens frequently when he calls in from his home.
Yeah.
He has like some kind of background music
I don't know
playing.
If it makes it all the way across our air to like
our listeners.
I didn't
car.
Hear it. What are y'all talking about?
There was some kind of little music playing in the background. I heard
chimes,
little music.
Chimes.
But maybe bells. He may have been outside and it was wind chimes or something.
Could
you
be.
Think?
It could be.
Well, he'll tell us. Alex is a transparent guy. All I got to do.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was.
Did we? Things. One time he had like cats that were meowing in the background.
Hey, get him back on.
Not geese.
Hey Brent. No. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Brent, call Alex back right now. And see if he can be back on, because we want to know the answer to this.
We got to know.
Huh? answer to this question.
He's probably gone to make a sandwich.
Brent, our producer's texting him right now. I'll just say this as we're getting Alex back on to answer this mystery question.
That's right.
In the last 4 or 5 days, we've had like 15 to 20 people sign up for our Israel trip. No, maybe more. And I'm telling you, this is going to sell out by September, August, maybe earlier. So I'm just letting you know that if you want to go with us, maybe you want to just check it out, okay? For our March 2024 Israel trip, which will be hosted by yours truly, be my 30th time or so. I've forgotten. I started going with my dad in the 80s.
After a while, you stop counting, right?
Well, it does become hard to. And there's been a couple of years where we couldn't go. And my wife, Allison, she always goes with me.
Yeah.
And then my sons, Wesley and Walker, they're going to go as well. So it'll be a family affair there. We'll be going to Israel in March of 2024. So if you want to look at the dates, the cost, the itinerary, and all that stuff, go to twholyland.com. twholyland.com. That's right. I said W. Huh?
TW.
TW. Holyland.com. It's like WD-40. TW. Holyland.com. All right, Alex. I'm sorry to interrupt your lunch there. I know you were headed off to or whatever you were going to do, but Steve and Ed thought they heard some kind of music in the background or wind chimes or something. What was that?
Well, you know, we have an office in Greensboro, North Carolina at Southside Baptist Church. They are so gracious to let me use office space here and studio when I do Exploring the Word. And there are church bells. And, you know, it's interesting. Every hour on the hour, it plays a dear old hymn like Softly and Tenderly. And so we're a full service broadcaster.
So we're hearing real church bells ring.
You're hearing the church bells at Southside Baptist in Greensboro, North Carolina.
All I can say is get me to the church on time.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day there.
You guys have lost me. You're wanting to get to the church on time, and Steve switched over to some kind of Christmas song. Am I supposed to get the connection here?
No, bells. I was just
bells.
But
the bells.
I'm proud to be from the Bible Belt.
What did you say, Alex?
I said I'm proud to be from the Bible Belt. The steeples still have church bells.
Yeah, I love to hear those, you know. Now, if you live three houses down and it's every hour, I don't know, you might lose your religion then. anyway, all right, so mystery solved. That's what we were hearing in the background. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. Sorry to
God bless you guys. Thanks very much.
Okay. I had to have an answer to that.
Yeah. Well, you weren't alone.
I looked
on Facebook and somebody
they wanted to know. They heard it too.
Cynthia said, yes, call them back. I need to know too. So, Cynthia, you got your answer.
On a need to know basis.
Yep.
So, church bells. I don't hear any. They used to have some downtown here where we live, but you couldn't hear them from where we are.
But he was right inside the church.
The country churches, a lot of them still have, I guess, church bells. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We got 6 minutes left. Steve, what's your next story?
I'd like to take us back. I know you guys talked a little bit about the testimony of the whistleblowers that were going on. I have some sound from this. This is the Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. Jim Jordan is the chairman of that committee. Stacey Plaskett, the representative from Virgin Islands, is the ranking member. Jim Jordan is having none of the games that the Democrats want to play. I want to play you a cut. This is Jim Jordan. The Democrats are asking for transcript of a testimony that the Republicans had with one of these whistleblowers prior to the actual open meeting, and they want to know what was said. They want that stuff. So listen to cut 11.
Mr. Chair, just as a point of order, I understand, and we have been made aware from what you stated in your opening statement, as well as in a press conference earlier, that Mr. Allen did meet with you all and might have a testimony that was transcribed. neither, and I understand that he stated that he did not feel comfortable meeting with the Democrats. He's comfortable being here today in this open forum. We will be questioning him. Will you give us a copy of that testimony that was transcribed of your discussions with him?
It'll be up to Mr. Allen.
But you are in possession of them, aren't you?
Sure are.
So why would you not give them to us?
Mr. Allen's a whistleblower, and he didn't want that to happen.
But he's comfortable here in open discussion with us today?
Sure is, and you can ask him questions if you want.
You don't share your information with the minority?
Nope.
The whistleblower
saw what you did with Mr. Friend and others, the false information you gave the press, so that they had to issue corrections.
The whistleblower doesn't decide that. The committee decides it.
And we've decided.
Oh, hey, you like them apple?
Yeah, he's just, we're not playing that game.
What is she wanted?
They had, and in fact, what we played earlier of they met with these whistleblowers, the Republicans did earlier,
right,
to try to kind of get background and everything. Right. And they transcribed those because they wanted a record of it, I guess. And the Democrats want that. They want every weapon they can get against
them. Listen,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's a legitimate request on the part of the Democrats. Again, I'm not siding with the Democrats.
Liberal?
Yes.
Good night. I don't even know if I can trust you anymore. You are actually sitting to my left.
Yes.
I don't know if
that
means anything or not.
Well, he's to my right, though.
Here's what they're thinking, okay? I'm guessing. I hate to crawl into that crawl space up there where the Democrats are thinking. If I was in their shoes, I would want to know if Jim Jordan had told the whistleblower, no, don't bring that up. No, you want to stay away from that. I think it's a legitimate request. Here's where I come back to being conservative, though. If I were Jim Jordan, I would have said, as soon as Christopher Wray gives me the document that I want, that I have subpoenaed, I'll let you have this document. Because the Democrats consistently refuse to turn over material that is germane to the discussion.
You know,
so that's all I'm saying. I that's a legitimate request.
They were using the Whistleblower Protection Act, though, to deny the Democrats that, because there was going to be some retaliation against the whistleblower based on that document, I think.
Well, but why? Why would there be, as opposed to what he's saying?
Because the Democrats
the
lie about everything.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
I thought you're supposed to be an even-handed reporter. Steve, you just say, quote, Democrats lie about everything, end of quote.
I've been around the block a couple times here.
Well,
folks, please.
That's a broad generalization.
The Washington Democrats. I'm not saying that Democrats that are listeners
I just
want
to give you a chance
yes.
to cover.
Folks,
goes on
those
Capitol
of you
Hill.
Who are listening to the program, please don't email me or certainly don't text me.
Because you don't care what people think.
No, I don't want people to think I'm taking sides here. I'm just saying. I think that's a legitimate request if I'm on the opposition side.
You know what? I think we could bypass a lot of rancor and arguing and yelling and make our lives a lot more peaceful in this country if we would just ask this question every time a subject comes up, even in Congress. I would ask the Democrats, if I were Jim Jordan, if we can prove that the FBI is covering for Joe Biden's financial scandal, would it matter
to you?
Would it matter to you? Or would a Democrat on the committee, and you could reverse this for Republicans sometime if you wanted to, you could say, then that way the Democrats could say, listen, we don't care if Joe Biden made millions.
Right.
It doesn't matter to us.
Right.
Then you could just say okay, at least we know where he is. We don't have to argue about whether it matters or not. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that seems to be where we are in this country.
Yeah.
With a lot of issues. All right. See you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.